AM 1240, WSBC, Chicago. And AM 1470, WCFJ, Chicago Heights.
Hey, well, good morning and welcome to the radio version of the First Tee. You're tuned in to 1 hour of golf talk. The show is Golfers on Golf Radio. Here in studio this morning, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson with the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Golf Courses. That's Oak Meadows, Maple Meadows, Green Meadows. We have Rory Spears, longtime sports journalist, writer of the Golfers on Golf blog. And our third today is, of course, your favorite, Mike Monroe.
My favorite, too.
Hey, your favorite, too, Mike. Hey, one of the guys who's been a fixture in the golf community. You've seen him for years at the White Pines Golf Dome. And now, Mike, hey, you're at a point where you're just actually out there getting to play a little bit more golf. And summer season is here. It was great to see you with Dan Rohn, some of the other media guys out at Oak Meadows this week.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, it was a lot of fun. The golf course, Oak Meadows, was in wonderful shape, and unfortunately, the shape of the golf course was a lot better than the shape of my golf game. Dan beat me a little bit a couple of days ago, but it was a lot of fun. Always nice to play out there, and looks like we got a pretty good week of weather coming up in front of us. Supposed to be a little bit cooler on Tuesday and Wednesday. Today, what do you think? Are we going to be able to get around to golfing?
I'm hoping so. You know, this weekend is one of my favorite weekends of the year because actually out at Oak Meadows and Maple Meadows, we're playing host to really some of the top juniors, over 230 juniors from Illinois and actually beyond are playing in the DuPage Junior Classic. It's become a premier event on the schedule. It's got a lot of recognition, including some national recognition. And it got off yesterday to a great start. In fact, these kids seem to get better every year. Brendan O'Reilly from Hinsdale goes out to Maple Meadows, and in the older boys division, he shoots a 64 yesterday.
Is that crazy or what?
64, he's 6-under, one round into the DuPage Junior Classic. And we're hoping to get in round two today. As you guys know, it was drizzling a little bit this morning. Mr. Tom Skilling and the other weather folks around town were saying that there's a decent chance for some rain.
Some pretty good storms, I think, later.
Chance for storms, 50%, so I'll take that flip of the coin at this point. But yesterday we got lucky on the weather, and I'm hoping that we can do so once again today.
So 64 is leading. How the other scores, Eddie? Are we, we've got some whenever you shoot a 64, that's pretty incredible. But I know a lot of those guys out there, you know, they used to be, when I was growing up, if somebody shot 70, 71, 72, you're going to be leading, and you're probably going to be leading by two or three strokes. These days, you shoot a 64, and you're and you may not even be leading. It's kind of crazy.
Sure. Well, you know, we'll check in, certainly, with more from the DuPage Junior Classic this morning. But to give you an idea, Mike, in that boys division for the ages 15 through 18-year-old, if you shot even par, you're tied for eighth.
So even par is a 70.
Even par is 70 on the Maple Meadows course. And, of course, another event was going on simultaneously with girls and some of the younger boys over at Oak Meadows. But, you know, birdies were not just part of the day yesterday at the DuPage Junior Classic. Certainly, Mr. Rory McIlroy managed to make a few birdies out of the PGA Tour yesterday as well.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Front nine, he gets four in a row. You figure you can't do any better than four birdies in a row. He starts the back nine, gets five birdies in a row. So he's playing some pretty good golf, shoots a 61, and he is four strokes up, leading Webb Simpson, who's starting to play some pretty good golf himself.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I was watching some of the interview with Rory McIlroy, and he had a stretch of, 10 birdies in 11 holes. And they asked him, are you in the zone? So, Rory Spears, if that is not in the zone, what is in the zone, 10 birdies in 11 holes?
Well, don't you guys always make 10 birdies in 11 holes? I mean, I have that happen to me at least every other round, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I make 10 birdies a month.
Well, you know, obviously, unbelievable stretch. He said, hey, you know, you get these moments. He said you sometimes just find yourself in the zone. You don't know when it's going to be, and you try to just enjoy it and go with it. And I'd say, yeah, good advice. He's got a four-shot lead heading into Sunday. So you know, not too bad. Obviously a great start, and I think with the 54-hole lead, Rory McIlroy's been a pretty tough guy to beat.
Well, I got to tell you this. Webb Simpson's basically on his home course. He's a Charlotte guy. He's in his hometown. It's a home game. You know, one of those weeks that professional touring golfers that go all around the world talk about, a week that you actually get to go to your own house, you sleep in your own bed, you come home. You know, these guys have their wife or whoever make them dinner at night, and it's kind of like a normal week when you're at home. You're not really even out on tour. So not surprised to see Webb Simpson play well this week.
Yeah,
but I am actually... I'm just thrilled that it's been an exciting tournament so far. The tournament director down there, Kim Huffam, used to run the John Deere Classic for many years. He sort of helped save the tournament. He brought the parties together down in the Quad Cities, including the PGA Tour, the people of the tournament, and John Deere Corporation, helped get TPC Deer Run built. And really help keep that tournament going, and then obviously picked a great successor in Claire Peterson. So Kim Huffam does a great job down there with the tournament, and it's always good that to see that tournament have a great week when it's going on, because people like him and his staff who work so hard all year really deserve it.
Yeah, you know what's amazing too, guys? The golf course, everybody thinks, hey, if you're going to shoot a 61, it's got to be what? Maybe a 6,900-yard golf course. This golf course is close to 7,600 yards. Think about that.
Yeah, not exactly a walk in the park. Hey, you know, speaking of days of golf that you know, have some length to them, not exactly walks in the park. We have a lot to look forward to later in this show. One of our guests coming up, we'll preview for you slightly. Had a day on Thursday. You know, guys, we've all talked about, you know, heading out a couple extra holes. Maybe we'll play an extra nine. Well, his day Thursday turned into 100 holes of golf. We're going to speak with Jeff Reddick from Elmhurst, who went out and played 100 holes of golf as part of the Forest Preserve District Centennial celebration. So we'll get a little bit more on that, as well as conversation. Rory, I think we're going to talk to your friend and longtime writer about the Illinois PGA Hall of Fame inductions coming up.
Yeah, it's the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, and as a matter of fact, the final votes were held this week, and the three people, the new inductees, were announced, and as a result, there'll be a dinner and a date to be determined in October where those three people will be officially inducted. But there's three new class members, and Tim will be on to discuss that shortly. And then we will get to hear the interview we promised last week with John Daly. So look for that coming up in the show.
Excellent. Well, Tim, Tim is one of the big three, Rory, right? And along with yourself and Len and
Well, Lenny Zeem will be joining us. You jumped the gun, Ed. Lenny Zeem's going to join us next week from the Senior PGA down at the French Lake Resort. So. We do have him scheduled coming up on the card next Sunday.
Well, I'm going to take a mulligan on that. We'll look forward to speaking with Tim Cronin, and we'll look forward to a lot more to come in this hour of Golf Talk Radio. We're going to head into our first break here in just a moment. But thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
Or would I just can't drive?
Erin Hills is your only opportunity to play a public access U.S. Open site within 800 miles of Chicago. Located northwest of Milwaukee, Erin Hills is just a two-hour drive, and it's already hosted the 2011 U.S. Amateur and will welcome the world's best players when the 2017 U.S. Open is played there. With a variety of individual rooms, suites, cottages, on-site, and wonderful food, Erin Hills is perfect for a day trip or a one- or two-night golf getaway. Visit erinhills.com for more information and to plan a world-class experience. Golfers, if you'd like to play one of the Chicagoland area's top public golf courses, why not check out Shepherd's Crook Golf Club, located on Green Bay Road in Zion. Shepherd's Crook is a Keith Foster-designed links-style golf course that has been compared to some of Ireland's great courses like Ballybunion, Waterville, and Lahinch. Shepherd's Crook is also easy on your wallet, both on and off the golf course. Whether it's the affordable green fees, food or beverage on the course or in the grill, or great pro shot merchandise, Shepherd's Crook is also perfect for your outing, whether it's for business, charity, or personal. Shepherd's Crook is located on Green Bay Road in Zion, and for more information, you can call 847-872-2080 or visit the course's website at shepherdscrook.org. That's Shepherd's Crook Golf Club in Zion.
The city of Elgin offers two of the finest public golf courses in Illinois as rated by Golf Week magazine. First, Bowes Creek Country Club, designed by Rick Jacobson, and the Highlands of Elgin by Art Schaupeter. For more on Bowes Creek Country Club, the home of Porter's Pub, and the Member for a Day program, visit BowesCreekCC.com or call 847-214-5880. Or to play the Highlands of Elgin in the scenic quarry holes, call 847-931-5950 or visit thehighlandsofelgin.com.
I want my dream. Yeah, yeah, really not so lean.
All right, it's 9:11 a.m., and you're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio. Rory Spears, Mike Monroe, I'm Ed Stevenson, and we're a show about the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective, and in fact, an Illinois perspective. And Rory coming up, there are going to be some folks probably once again honored about their role within the world of golf here in Illinois.
Yeah, that's very true, Ed. Every other year now, there is a new class inducted into the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, which is located over at the Glen Club over in Glenview. And with that, they held their vote this week to put the class of 2015 together, and with more of the details is the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame committee chairman, who is live down at the Brickyard Golf Course. I think he's overlooking four holes in the middle of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tim Cronin, TC, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Rory. Hi, Ed. How are you? And not really quite at Brickyard Crossing, more overlooking the front straightaway of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where after a big accident this morning, qualifying has been delayed because they're trying to figure out how to keep the cars on the ground and not fly through the air. That was a good idea for the drivers. Ed Carpenter had an accident. He's fine today, but he's the third car this week to flip over when he hit the wall and turned backwards. The Chevrolets don't want to stay on the ground. I don't know why, and neither do the engineers or the physicists here. So they're working on trying to fix that.
Yeah. Now, maybe they should go with some easy goes.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, personally, I don't know. There's got to be a way to do that.
Well, anyway, we've seen those easy goes fly before, too, you know, Mike, so maybe not. But,
it's those Harris golf carts, you know?
If you have, yeah, the Yamahas and the easy goes, I think that would be a heck of a 33 of those lined up on next Sunday morning. That would pull them in here. Anyway, we had a wonderful meeting. I'm not the chairman of the Hall of Fame, the chairman of the selection committee. There are other people who worry about paying the bills. I just try and guide the committee of 18 to a conclusion and the vote, as it were. And the vote turned out that on Wednesday that H. Chandler Egan, a two-time U.S. amateur and four-time Western amateur champion from 110 years ago, and Leon McNair, the longtime head professional at Fox Bend, who is now retired from that but active in four different charities, and Jim Saab, who has been up at Ivanhoe since it became Ivanhoe, and before that was at Thorngate with the same membership, were elected to the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, and they will be inducted in October or late September, depending on when we set the date. Three very worthy candidates made it in out of the field of 10, and I spoke with Leon and Jim in the last few days, and they're just thrilled, and Jim was absolutely speechless, which is amazing because if you know Jim, he can chat a little bit. To be honored in this fashion, and it's a wonderful thing, and it'll be a great night.
And I bet you the third candidate was speechless as well.
We haven't heard from Chandler in a long time. However, I did call or email Don Holton, who was the presenter on Egan's behalf from Exmoor, and he knows the Egan relatives, the great-grandnephews, I think they are. And so I'm sure they were thrilled. But, yeah, with poor old Chandler, we lost him quite a while back. But what a great playing career. And he was also a great architect, too. He designed 18 courses out in the Oregon, Washington area, and he redesigned Pebble Beach. Everything at Pebble Beach except two holes, the fifth hole, which has been redone, and the 18th hole, has Chandler Egan's footprints all over it.
I wonder whose footprints are now on the 17th hole, because if anybody's seen a picture in the last 48 hours, the 17th green at Pebble Beach right now is a dirt pile. There is
What they're doing is they're rebuilding it into the fashion that Egan designed it, with that much larger green than the footprint came about over the years. It shrunk down. Mowing patterns changed and things like that. So they went back to the old photographs, and if they really do it right, the bunker in front of the back left-hand side of that green will be crazy looking and an absolute torture if you're in it. We'll see how far they go in that regard.
It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. 9:15, you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio here in the studio. We have Ed Stevenson, Mike Monroe, and yours truly, Rory Spears. We're chatting with a longtime golf writer, and I'm gonna call him. Tim, what are you, the chairman of the selection committee, I believe?
Chairman of the selection committee, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There are 18
great people on that board, 17 great people and me, I guess you'd say, on there from across the state of Illinois. And in every category, we have architects, we have superintendents, we have professionals, we have administrators from the WGA, CDGA, IPGA, IJGA, and a few at-large people, even some media on there. So you get a great broad perspective. And in the two-stage meetings that we have, the first one, of course, narrows the field from this year 25 down to the 10 finalists. And that's a three-hour conversation. Cup should have been there because it was the lively art of conversation for that day.
Tim, tell people a little bit about the process. If somebody out there thinks, hey, you know, why isn't my pro in the Hall of Fame, or should he be in the Hall of Fame, or could we get him in the Hall of Fame, how does that all work?
Well, not just pro, but anybody involved with the game in Illinois for any reasonable length of time. I don't know if it's been reposted, but very shortly, if it isn't there already, you go to the Illinois PGA website, IllinoisPGA.com, and you can click on Hall of Fame and find a nomination form to nominate someone for the Hall of Fame, and you and somebody else can get in on that and nominate whoever you like, and it will come before the committee. That's what the first stage of the process is about, winnowing all the nominations down to the 10 finalists, where we have people come in and present on their behalf. That's the final argument, if you will, to the jury. And if you know somebody out there who should be nominated, by golly, you can do that. Rory, in fact, you did that on behalf of Len Veeam, who did not this year make the first cut for the second cut, but I'm sure we'll get there in the future.
Well, I was hoping he'd have a shot this year. Hopefully, because you do this every other year, he will have a shot in 2017, and he'll get a chance to maybe join his fellow Palatine High School alum Jim Saab in the Hall of Fame. I would have loved to have seen the two of them go in together. You could have had Palatine night at the induction dinners, but and
would
Tim,
we be ready to have Zeman Saab sing the school fight song? I don't know if that's
you wanted people to attend, right?
Hey, Tim,
but it's a difficult process. Tough to get it just into the final 10.
Yeah.
Not only did Lenny not make the final 10 this year, but Horton Smith, who won 32 times on what we now call the PGA Tour, 40% of those victories achieved in his 7 years at Oak Park Country Club, including winning the first and third Masters tournament. He didn't even make the final 10. So it's a tough field, put it that way.
Well, it would have helped him if he had been a longtime Illinois PGA professional, maybe. But Tim, I got to ask you when you look through the process and you look at some of the other folks. I guess there was a couple of other people who just came up maybe like a vote or two short. Would you look at them potentially as the front runners to maybe get in next time in 2017?
It could be, with a field of panel of 18, you needed two-thirds votes. You needed 12 votes on Wednesday night. And Francis Peabody, who was from Egan's era and who prodded the formation of the Chicago District Golf Association, and Jerry Rich, who, of course, is proprietor owner of Rich Harvest Farms and has brought so many tournaments and bringing more to the Chicago area, they did not get in. They fell two votes short. Each got 10 votes. You needed 12. Mm-hmm. So you would think that both Jerry and Francis might have a better shot next time around. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes the votes go down, sometimes they go up. As I recall, it took Tommy Armour 4 times to get in, and it took Bob Harris 5 or 6 times to get in. So it's just not easy. And Jerry, at least, that was his third go-round. So now he has to get renominated, and they can start over.
Wow. Well, obviously a detailed, thoughtful process. And one of the guys, as you mentioned at the start of the interview,
here, Tim. One of the guys who did get in was Leon McNair. You know, I think a lot of people had the chance to come in contact with Leon over the years. He's a great guy. You mentioned he's involved with four charitable organizations. I'm certainly familiar with his work in the Wadsworth Foundation and put together money and do a lot of legwork to help get some short course initiatives going to create access to golf courses for juniors and that sort of thing. But I guess that's not it for Leon. He's got a lot more going on than just Wadsworth Foundation.
He does. I know two of the other three off the top of my head. One is the Illinois PGA Foundation, which he was a co-founder of. And then he's also big in the First Tee of Aurora and Fox River Valley, which he helped found while he was still the head man at Fox Bend. And, of course, at Fox Bend, Leon is the man because he was on Brent Wadsworth's survey crew helping build the place before he became the pro there. it's amazing. And that's one of the only person I know of that Brent designed before he decided to go full-time into just building courses for other people, which has turned out pretty well for him.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, there's another guy out there that a lot of people know who kind of did the same thing. He worked as a laborer to build a couple of golf courses, including one of the longtime America's Top 100, the Cascades course at the Homestead Resort in Virginia. And then he came back to be the club's first pro, and that would be a gentleman by the name of Sam Snead. So Snead was actually involved in building a few golf courses before he went out on tour, and then before he actually came back as the head pro, and then pro emeritus years later over at the Greenbrier. So there's been a few people that have started by building courses and then getting further and deeper into the game, Tim.
As opposed to you and I, Rory, we just seem to go out there and tear them apart when we get there.
Well,
in a good way.
Well, you know what, Tim? I can see Ed Stevenson. He's frantically waving from the other side of the studio, and I think he wants us to come over and help Greg Martin redesign Oak Meadows, which is going to start this summer.
It's always been my dream to run a Bobcat, so I'm ready.
Hey, don't worry, guys. My hands aren't sweating at all at that thought.
You know? Well, Tim, anything else? Tell people about the Hall of Fame a little bit. It's at the Glen Club, and if somebody comes over and wants to see it or go around it, what does that all entail?
Physically, it is at the Glen Club up in Glenview, in the clubhouse, and all you have to do is walk in the door and right down the center aisle. There are display cases and plaques commemorating the inductions of the, it will now be 82 people when we have the final induction ceremony for Chandler and Leon and Jim in the fall. And there's a memorabilia on display, and those displays are changed out every so often. And there's so much good stuff with the Hall of Fame. We don't have room for all the plaques upstairs. Some of them are downstairs near the Illinois PGA section office. But that's the spot, and it's really cool to get a great sense of the history of golf in this state, which is considerable, considering that it all started with Charlie Blair McDonald back in 1892 when he decided to found a little thing called Chicago Golf Club. And, of course, Charlie was the first guy in the Hall of Fame, and he wouldn't have had it any other way,
really,
based on what we've heard of him over the years. It's kind of a nifty spot, so if you're going to go up and play the Glen Club or you're in that neighborhood, I'd go over and check it out.
Hey, Tim, you've obviously know an incredible amount about golf, especially golf in Illinois. You know, what prompted you to get so involved and get so interested? You're a book full of knowledge when it comes to Illinois golf. How'd you get so involved?
Well, I guess in terms of the knowing stuff off the top of my head, in one regard, I have to thank Ryan Fitzgerald, who had been the PR guy for the Western Golf Association, because one year at the Western Open at Butler National, it was a Saturday, and there were a bunch of low scores. And I asked Brian, hey, is this the record for the number of guys under par on a weekend day at Butler after the cut? And he said, gee, I don't know. And I said, boy, you think they would know that? And I remembered that I had a bunch of media guides at home. This was, 85 or 6, somewhere around that. And one of them had all the scoring from 1974 on. So I called the office and said, here's the story, except I've got to fill in this hole. Went home, dug through a box, found what I needed, and then called the office, sent that in, and said to myself, well, if they don't know that, I wonder what else they don't know. I started to put together a little record book just for the Western Open at Butler, and then things kind of expanded from there. And before you know it, I'm trying to figure out who designed a golf course in 1897 in Will County.
Well, for folks, for those of you who don't know, Tim's also written several books, including the history of the Western Golf Association, and several of the top clubs around town have had Tim write their centennial, 100-year centennial history books. As a matter of fact, I know, Tim, you're working on one right now for Olympia Fields, and it'll probably wrap up this year after they complete the U.S. Amateur this August.
That's the plan. We're hoping to give it out in, around Thanksgiving, which means that I have to finish it by then, and it will be done. And it's going to be, not that I have anything to do, it's going to be a marvelous history because of the history contained at that club. And they have a great archive of photographs, too. And people look at those books first for the photographs, and then eventually they get around to reading anything I may have written. But the fun part is finding everything out and telling the members who don't necessarily always know what happened, what had happened. And sometimes we destroy myths, sometimes we enhance them. But it's a great process, and there are wonderful people down there to work with. Hey, can I plug one thing,
sure,
if you don't
sure,
mind?
Go ahead.
A moment here. On July 1, and the deadline to enter is June 15 or thereabouts, comes the 27th Illinois Golfer Challenge Junior Golf Championship at Glen Woody. That used to be the old Southtown Challenge when I was there, and they bounced me out of there, so I took it over. Actually, the deadline is Friday, June 19, but we play Wednesday, July 1. Kids from 13 to 18 can enter. It's just $36 to play. You get a towel, you get a backpack, you get a pat on the head from me as we send you off on your merry way around 18, and you got a shot at trophies too, of course. And you can find the entry form at illinoisgolfer.net and click on the Illinois Golfer Challenge page, and the PDF will pop up, and you can ship it in. We got room for 156 kids, and we still have room, so we'd love to have anybody and everybody in there who wants to give it a whirl.
Well, that would be great. Continue the tradition, and you never know. Over the years, I know that tournament has had one of the great voices in golf go down there to be the starter on the first tee. So who knows? Maybe that'll even happen again this year. Anyway, Tim, listen, thanks so much for joining us, and I guess we'll look forward to seeing you out at North Shore Country Club tomorrow as the Encompass Championship sort of tees off its event for this July by announcing a lot of things. The defending champ Tom Lehman will come in and help them get things started tomorrow over at North Shore.
That's a wonderful place. I'll be there as long as we get qualifying done here today. The skies are cloudy and not a wheel is moving on the track right now, so cross your fingers.
Okay, the rain is here. It's heading past Wrigley Field, and we hope the Cubs game won't get held up. Tim, thanks for joining us, and go down and play a few of those holes that Pete Dye designed running around the racetrack out there.
All right, thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks,
That's Tim Cronin, longtime golf writer, and he is the committee chairman for the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. Three new members going into the Golf Hall of Fame. The dinner will be at a date to be determined in October, and congratulations to H. Chandler Egan, Leon McNair, and Jim Saab, the new members of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. We're back after this. Chicago golfers, are you ready to golf away? Like in the state of Michigan that's home to so many great golf courses? Well, why not try one of the top five public courses in Michigan, and that's Island Hills Golf Club in Centerville. This Ray Hearn designed golf club is 18 holes of enjoyable golf for golfers of all skill levels, and your round concludes with some of the best finishing holes you'll ever find in public golf. In the last few years, Island Hills has not only upgraded its food and beverage operation, but it's built some of the most luxurious villas you'll find in the Midwest. Why not wake up in a comfortable bed with a view of the lake and the golf course just outside? When you visit Island Hills' website, you can learn more about the club's stay-and-play packages and get all of your questions answered. For more information, see islandhillsgolf.com or call the fully stocked pro shop at 269-467-7261. That's 269-467-7261. Island Hills Golf, Chicago's Southwest Michigan golf destination. Golfers, are you ready to test your game at one of Chicagoland area's top public golf courses? If so, try Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton. The renovation of all 27 holes by architect Greg Martin has included bunkers that now have the white tour-style sand, the classic-style squared-off tee boxes, and fairways and greens that play in pristine condition. But the work didn't stop on the golf course. Arrowhead has now renovated its driving range and practice areas. Arrowhead's fully stocked pro shop can fill your bag with golf balls or fit you in a comfortable comfortable, stylish golf shirt or hat. Need more? Okay, how about one of the best 19th or 28th holes in the area? The Arrowhead Bar and Grill lets you relax inside or outside on the patio with views of the golf course. Need a golf lesson to tune up your game? Come meet the new staff professionals who can get you back on track. Arrowhead Golf Club is located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. Visit arrowheadgolfclub.org or call 630-653-5800 for your day at Arrowhead Golf Club. Your tee time awaits.
The best players in the world will compete at Erin Hills near Milwaukee, the site of the 2017 U.S. Open. In the meanwhile, don't miss your chance to play a public access U.S. Open course. Just a two-hour drive from Chicago, Erin Hills is perfect for a day trip or an overnight golf getaway with a variety of rooms, suites, cottages, and wonderful food. Visit erinhills.com for more information and plan a world-class experience. DuPageGolf.com is the internet home for the Forest Preserve District of DuPage Golf Facilities, including Oak Meadows in Addison, Maple Meadows in Wooddale, and Green Meadows in Westmont. Enjoy fabulous golf at Forest Preserve prices, including the historic Oak Meadows layout where golf legend Ben Hogan won the 1941 Chicago Open. Learn about DuPage Golf's two 18-hole championship courses, two 9-hole value courses, and our all-grass tee practice range featuring PGA and LPGA golf instruction. DuPage Golf's best internet specials are only on DuPageGolf.com. Find online tee times and more at DuPageGolf.com.
Hello, golfers. This is Chip Beck. And when I'm in Chicago, I listen to Mike Monroe, Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger, and Rory Spears on Golfers on Golf Radio, the best in the business.
All right. Well, thank you, Chip Beck. We're glad that you're listening. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in here on Sunday morning. We've just made the turn into our second half hour here on Golfers on Golf Radio. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you've got some golf planned ahead in your day. I'm Ed Stevenson, along with Mike Monroe, Rory Spears. You know, guys, from time to time, people have looked at the world of golf and said, you know, it needs to be more fun. And certainly through history, you've seen some characters come along and be a part of this game in one way or another that have been iconic in some fashion. You know, back in 1991, there was a ninth alternate who made his way into the PGA Championship and ultimately made his way to hoisting the trophy, and he was one of those guys who was immediately, I don't want to say polarizing, he was magnetic. He energized people, got them excited, and the term grip it and rip it became rather vogue on golf courses.
Well, you know, Ed, I got to tell you, I was actually down there covering the 1991 PGA Championship at Crooked Stick, and what was funny was to watch him walk back and forth between the signing his scorecard on his way to the press tent and doing different things, and the crowd in the parking lot that just stood there, and he signed autographs out in the parking lot. He just basically told the security people, "Get away! I want to mingle with this crowd. I want to enjoy this."
And of course, we're talking about John Daly,
yep.
He's a guy that you follow his career. It's been a roller coaster, but one thing's been consistent. He's able to bring a smile to people's faces and get that same reaction you just described, Rory. And you had the chance to see it all over again just last week. A great picture from Comiskey. You were covering the Sox game, and there's our very own Rory Spears looking not quite so tall next to John Daly.
Next to Big John. And Big John was in town. He's endorsing some products. But he took some time to talk endorsements, talk golf with the gathered media that were there that night before the game unfortunately rained out. So we never got to see John throw out the first pitch. But we did catch up with him on a variety of topics. And here's some of that interview session with John Daly right now.
Major or something?
Whoops.
Are you warming up for one?
Yes. This bridge is open, I am.
Yep. You played St. Andrews?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Love it.
Yep. John, tell us what brings you to town this weekend and some of the new products that you got going.
Well, you know, after 16,000 bar menus with my name on it, I decided about 2 years ago to do a real John Daly cocktail. And sweet tea lemonade, we got raspberry, we got peach. And Stoller's our distributor here in Chicago. And You know, I've always loved Chicago. Cog Hill for 14, 15 years. Butler, my first time I ever played, it was like 90 or 91 or whatever, and fell in love with it. This is a great city. We're in 26 states now with my drink, less than 2 years, and I'm doing it all on my own. Well, my partner, Brian Beattie and Kristen, and we've really set a precedent with the drink.
John, last year at the PGA show, you unveiled John Daly Pizza. How's that going?
That's doing good, too, actually. We have spoken to Wyndham a lot, and I want Wyndham to take the drink in and all that. And we're doing really well with the pizza. Perky's Pizza, John Eddie Pizza, we're doing really well. And we're trying to get the drink in Ohio, and I hope they don't hold it against me. But loyalty is better than anything. And honesty is the way I am, and that's the way I live life. And I don't want Ohio to say, hey, you're not a Ohio State fan, you're not a Cincinnati Red fan. But you know what? It is what it is, and I'm loyal. And if we get a drink in Ohio, I'm going to be loyal to Ohio as well. We're in 26 states after a year and a half, and we're actually kicking ass is what we're doing with my drink.
Outside of St. Andrews, where do you expect to play this year?
My shoulder's all screwed up again, so I'm going to play the end of June. I'll probably go to Munich with the BMW, where I've had success, and then come back to the U.S. and play the Greenbrier. Jim Justice done a wonderful job with the Greenbrier Classic. And then take a week off, go to Manchester, do some speeches and stuff, and then play the British Open. Canada, I hope. Reno. Reno's a very special, dear place in my heart. And then play the PGA. Mm-hmm.
Talk about golf right now. Obviously, people are saying it's Rory McIlroy's time, or it's Jordan Spieth's time, and it's maybe Tiger and Phil are stepping back now.
The greatest thing, what you just said right there, was McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. Phil Mickelson, Tiger. Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods aren't done yet. And I've seen both of their regiments, and they're both beautiful human beings. They both are artists, and they both practice really hard like I do. And I still feel that if you put Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson against Jordan Spieth and McIlroy, I think my guys are going to beat them. That's my guy. I love them to death. And I love McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is on a putting roll that Tiger had for 10 years. And McIlroy's just really, really good. I mean, the ball striking is impeccable. And he is the first guy that I've ever looked on the driving range that I can say, hey, that guy's ball striking ability is bar none better than anybody else's. And the only other guy I've ever seen do that was Jason Day, J.B. Holmes, and Tiger Woods.
Do you see any similarities in maybe a mental approach in terms of confidence that you have to succeed?
Well, no doubt. Baseball, golf, football, basketball, whatever it is, it's all, if you're healthy and you can work on your game and work on the hardest you can work on, you can be successful. But when you're hurt, like I have been for 8 years, and surgeries that I've had and all these other, like Tiger, you know, it pins you down to a point where you have a surgery and you're off 2 or 3 months, then you go back at it. But the bottom line is confidence. You know, and the bottom line in athletics is confidence. When you have confidence, you take a football team, high school football team, you got the coach is confident. He believes in his team and he works them and he works them and he works them. They may go 1-10 in a high school, or they may go 10-0. It's all about confidence. And life is that same way. It doesn't matter if it's golf, baseball, football, whatever, relationships. You got to have confidence in each other. And the one thing I've learned, I've been divorced, four times. I don't care. I have. But I have a beautiful woman in my life. And you thrive on confidence in your relationship. And that's what life's about. You got to thrive on confidence. And the Chicago White Sox, I know they haven't got off to a great start, but you know, you just got to deal with it and go on and find a way to get confidence. And in my Cardinal team that I love dearly, we've lost 3 pitchers, but yet we're still winning.
Mm-hmm. John, are you still as long as you have been? Some of the guys are saying new equipment. Maybe some of them are hitting the gym a little bit. I got guys in the Champions Tour saying I'm hitting the ball as far now as I was 20 years ago. Are you doing that?
No, technology does that for you, you know, and ambition does that for you. You know, with the golf ball, as hard as it is now, you can hit a lot further. But around the greens, it's not that great. I mean, The golf ball's too hard. I've always said it. I'm like Jack Nicklaus and all Tom Watson, all those guys. The golf ball's too hard. And I feel bad for the golf courses that we're playing at that have to add $4 million in adding tee boxes and reducing greens and reducing fairways and all that, and they're spending the money. Let's just go back to a softer golf ball. That's all it is. And I'm not scared. I'm 49 years old. Hey, J.B. Holmes, Jason Day, all these guys, you know, they want to come with me with a long drive contest, which I love to death. Hey, I'll just take my 3-wood out and knock it by him. I don't care.
What'd you think of the new qualifications for the World Golf Hall of Fame? Based on the amount of wins and major victories, you'd be eligible to get in.
I'll probably never be in. Just like the Ryder Cup, I'll never be a Ryder Cup captain. And, you know, and I love the United States of America, and I love every guy on the PGA Tour. But until we loosen up and have a good time, just free fall, man. Just free it and let it go. Don't worry about if you're getting paid, you're not getting paid, or what the gifts are and all that stuff. You know, I'm not a big fan of the PGA of America going 4-4-4 with the family pack or whatever it is. And I know Phil loves that, but it's time to be a team. And win as a team, lose as a team. I mean, for so many years, and I love Davis Love to death, but I heard that Davis Love's team did not show up when the Europeans beat him. And for 27, 26 years, the European guys, when we kicked their, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they always showed up, whether they won or lost. And that's what it needs to be. It's America. It's still America against Europe. We fight for one flag. When you play the Ryder Cup, they fight for like 26 to 37 flags. And it means something to them. And I love Paul McGinley for what he did when he was a Ryder Cup for the European Tour. He goes, hey, guys, I might pick you. This is a team that's on the roster right now. Meet me 3 or 4 times this year. Boom, we're going to practice and we're going to get it done. USA doesn't do that. That's what I do as a captain.
Well, that's what John Daly would do as a captain. Hey, Rory, great interview. Must have been a lot of fun to spend time with the famous and infamous John Daly, of course, touting pizza, his cocktails.
He had just played celebrity bartender with a lot of White Sox fans down at U.S. Cellular Field.
Well, I was going to say, maybe he might have been sampling some of his own, but either way, I think you're always going to get John Daly with no filter, which who would want it any other way?
That's exactly right, Ed. With that, I know that we have more coming up in the program. And we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Chip Beck, and I hope you'll come and see me and all the Champions Tour players at the Encompass Championship this July 10th, 11th, and 12th at the North Shore Country Club in Glenview.
Erin Hills is your only opportunity to play a public access U.S. Open site within 800 miles of Chicago. Located northwest of Milwaukee, Erin Hills is just a 2-hour drive, and it's already hosted the 2011 U.S. Amateur and will welcome the world's best players when the 2017 U.S. Open is played there. With a variety of individual rooms, suites, cottages, on-site, and wonderful food, Erin Hills is perfect for a day trip or a 1 or 2 night golf getaway. Visit erinhills.com for more information and to plan a world-class experience.
The City of Elgin offers 2 of the finest public golf courses in Illinois as rated by Golf Week magazine. First, Bowes Creek Country Club, designed by Rick Jacobson, and the Highlands of Elgin by Art Schaupeter. For more on Bowes Creek Country Club, the home of Porter's Pub, and the Member for a Day program, visit BowesCreekCC.com or call 847-214-5880. Or to play the Highlands of Elgin in the scenic quarry holes, call 847-931-5950 or visit thehighlandsofelgin.com.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
I want a new glove when the war made me slip.
Or you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio here. I'm Rory Spears along with Ed Stevenson and Mike Monroe. And Ed, you know, I know that with your job over at the DuPage County Forest Preserve District Golf Courses, it's a special year. It's a busy year. You've got a golf course renovation project coming up at Oak Meadows. But this year is also, I believe, the centennial season for the Forest Preserve District. And I guess you had a special event out at the golf courses to sort of help promote that fact to everybody that comes out to play.
Well, you know, it is. This is a fun year for us at the Forest Preserve District, and celebrating the fact that there are lots of ways to connect people with nature. We've shown that and enjoyed that over the last 100 years. I got to see it done in a whole other fashion. Special tie-in to our Centennial Challenge, which we'll tell you more about. But on Thursday, I had the pleasure of spending the day with one of our commissioners, Jeff Reddick, as well as the mayor from Elmhurst, Steve Morley. And it was a pretty tremendous, an epic day, I'll say, out at Green Meadows. And I want to welcome to the program Commissioner Jeff Reddick, who on Thursday managed to get around Green Meadows. You know, we've all played a few extra holes, guys. You know, had that emergency nine.
Yeah. 27.
Yeah, 27 holes. Well, yeah. Try 11 times around plus one on the nine-hole layout there at Green Meadows. 100 holes of golf. Hey, Commissioner Reddick, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great. Thanks for having me, Ed, Mike, Rory. It's good to be on the air with you.
Well, certainly Thursday was a lot of fun. It was a pleasure to get to see it firsthand. I certainly learned a few things about the game of golf that I actually, and sincerely mean this, didn't know before. But for our listeners, tell them a little bit about how the idea came about to get out there and not just get in 18 or 36, but actually get around there for 100 holes in one day.
Well, Ed, as you know, the Forest Preserve is celebrating its 100th year anniversary. And as part of those festivities, one of the things that we're doing is the 100-hole golf challenge, or the Centennial Challenge. And golfers can go to DuPageGolf.com and sign up to be a part of this. And over the course of the season, between April 1st and July 31st, if they play 100 holes of golf at a DuPage Forest Preserve course, they will qualify for a free round of golf, either 18 holes at Maple Meadow or two rounds of nine over at Green Meadows. And when this program came out in February, I started talking about it with Steve Morley, who's a good friend of mine, and we thought it was very doable. And then the challenge kind of came up. Hey, do we think we can do this in 24 hours?
Jeff, this is Rory Spears. I understand that you guys got started really early that day, and what's it like to crush one of those glow-in-the-dark golf balls with your driver and watch it race down the first fairway?
Well, Rory, I think that may be a generous assessment of the way we got off the tee, but you know, it was interesting because we spent a lot of time planning for how we were going to be able to get this done, and so we teed off at 5:13 a.m. and we did, like you say, use those glow in the dark golf balls, and I won't say that you probably want to do it and use those golf balls in a normal round, not quite the performance that we're used to, but. I can say that as the ball took off into the dark sky, it was kind of like when Fox Sports used to use the glow tail on the hockey puck. When they were...
Yeah.
Well, it sure sounds like a lot of fun, Jeff. In terms of the golf carts, how many golf carts did you go through that day? Were you able to just use one, or did you have to use a few of them?
No. We were able to do it with each used a golf cart. Steve and I were in separate carts to try and speed up the pace of play. You know, to be honest with you, I kind of laid out the plan and thought that we would get done right around dusk. And, you know, maintaining a fast pace of play and you know, maintaining pretty good control of the ball, keeping it in the fairways. We were able to finish, we putted out at 4:37, so we finished it in 11 hours and 24 minutes.
Well, you know, one thing that you know, I want to point out to our listeners, and one thing that impressed me, you know, certainly was that in 100 holes of golf, you're going to get a fatigue setting in, you're going to get maybe mental distraction at some point. Pretty easy, and I know there's some other, you know, other golf marathons out there that involve keeping a few balls in play at the same time, improving your lie, gimmies from quite a ways out. I got to say, that really didn't happen. You guys, you and Steve, I think, really had it as part of your mission, part of your plan to really play golf the way you would normally play in your game, and it was a true 100 holes of golf.
Yeah, I you know, we wanted to stay true to the way we play the game. It was just a matter of increasing the pace of play a little bit, but it was just a wonderful event. You know, I just have to take my hat off to Ed and his crew out there. Everybody was very accommodating and courteous. And the other golfers that were out there, they indulged us. Let's put it that way.
I was just going to ask you, how many groups did you have to play through?
You know, we moved around a little bit. There were a few people that I would just say that they were a bit amused by the whole task. But the nice thing was we were able to spread the word about the 100-hole challenge as well. A couple of people I know are signing up after they found out about it. And, you know, I'm hopeful that more people will go to DuPageGolf.com and they'll sign up and be a part of this season as well.
Ding, ding. Well plugged, Commissioner.
And, hey, how many people are waiting for, I believe, what is it, June 21st, the longest day of daylight to try to accomplish the feat?
Yeah. I'm telling you, if we can do it in May, there's plenty of opportunities out there. And we left a few hours of daylight on the table. So, you know, it's definitely something that can be done. It's something that I know Steve and I have each told the story to a number of people, and I anticipate that'll be the case for years to come.
On another topic, Jeff, first of all, congratulations on you and the board agreeing to build what I think is going to be one of the greatest golf courses in the Chicago area. Definitely one of the most exciting things to happen with Chicago golf in a long time. Tell us a little bit about how hard it was to, obviously it's a big endeavor. Tell us a little bit about the process in terms of going through and agreeing to do something like this for, you know, a golfer. I'm so excited about this, but if you could tell us a little bit about the approval process, that would be great.
Sure. You know, the Oak Meadow Golf Preserve Project is one that is really exciting from a bunch of different levels. This is a project that is about its waterway improvement. There's going to be we're going to restore the creek and waterway that cuts through Oak Meadows there. It's going to provide valuable stormwater benefit to people along the Salt Creek waterway. I mean, there's going to be 20 million gallons of storm water that's going to be able to be held, but being done in a manner in which Oak Meadows is going to be playable throughout the season. Right now we have had issues maintaining the course during some of these heavy and rainstorms that we've seen on a more frequent and severe basis over the course of the last 10, 12, 15 years. And the other part of it is, as a golfer, it's really exciting to be out there and see what this project is going to be. It's going to be, we're taking out actually 9 holes. We're going from 27 to 18, but the redesigned course is going to really be a spectacular course for golfers throughout the Chicagoland area. We're also increasing and improving our training facility, which will allow us to offer additional programming to golfers to introduce more people to the sport. And we do it in a manner in which the golf experience is really accentuated by it's going through this forest preserve land. There's going to be native wetlands that people can enjoy. There's all kinds of wildlife that, you know, is really a secondary part of that experience that is part of our mission at the forest preserve, which is to provide people with, you know, preservation, preserving open land and space, education, and recreation. And that's really where, you know, I think all three of those come together in this outstanding project.
You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio, 954. Rory Spears, Mike Monroe, Ed Stevenson in the studio. We're talking for a couple of minutes with Jeff Reddick, Commissioner from District 2, DuPage County Forest Preserve District. And, Jeff, I have to ask you if you could take us through the process a little bit, the process of getting this done. It's one that I know that Ed's lost a lot of sleep over due to the fact I get emails from him at 1 in the morning. And I would also have to say it looks like he's lost a little hair over this one.
That was happening anyways, guys.
Yeah, you know, Ed's done a great job shepherding this thing through, and it's been a putting together the proposal to identify the issues, some of those that I just talked about with stormwater and the course itself, but putting together the plan, getting not just the Forest Preserve board, but surrounding communities on board, and then kind of putting together all of the areas for funding this and the plan going forward of how this makes sense financially and is in the best interest of the people of DuPage County. We've identified the money. I think 2 weeks ago was the final vote on for the funding of the project. We're planning on making this. It should start in July, the construction, and we're expecting it to be done and ready to go in 2017.
Jeff, in our last minute or so here, have you had much conversation with architect Greg Martin, the man you selected to sort of head up the project?
I haven't talked directly with him. Most of all the communication has gone through Ed. You know, I've taken a look at in detail the plans. And like I said, I think from whatever aspect or whatever angle you're taking, people are going to be excited and going to be impressed with this project when it's done. I know that I'm really excited to see it get started and more excited to see it finish so that we can get back out there and play and take advantage of it.
Well, yeah, thanks, Jeff. I mean, we can't wait. Greg Martin's been a great teammate along with the whole design team, and really what's been fun from my seat to really watch and see come together is that, you know, our board, our president, Joe Cantore, up in that district, Commissioner Marsha Murphy, the entire board, once the vision got laid out and they saw the benefits and the way that golf can really be something that not only provides the recreation part of our mission, but ties into these other pieces for conservation and for the preservation of open space. I think the way that the board has rallied and embraced the vision and helped make the tough decisions to bring it to reality has been really, really gratifying to me, exciting to me. I'm a resident in the area, too. So from putting my residence hat on, it's great to see the Forest Preserve making sure that assets like this are not only preserved in perpetuity, but improved as well. So, hey, all that and circling back around to celebrate 100 years of nature and our connection to nature through that golf on Thursday has really been a lot of fun. And Commissioner Reddick, we appreciate you taking a few moments to join us on Golfers on Golf today.
It's been great. I appreciate it, guys. You know, it was a great opportunity this week to play 100 holes of golf in 24 hours. And then today really has kind of finished that off, getting to hit cleanup behind John Daly. You know, just another thing to kick off my bucket list.
Well, hey, gotta ask you too. I know that you and the mayor Morley went out to have your regular round of golf. It must have seemed like just kind of a little walk in the park this weekend after Thursday. I mean, did you feel like you even got started?
You know, it was hard to even feel like we got warmed up. I think Steve was looking for a little revenge because, unbelievably, after 100 holes of golf, we were within two strokes of each other. So, you know, I think it'll battle through the summer.
In match play, instead of, you know, winning 3-2, whatever, and if you play 100 holes, maybe you won 16-14.
Okay, well, once again, that's Commissioner Jeff Reddick with the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County. Hey, thanks again, Jeff. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you much.
Yeah,
all right, take care. Thanks for coming on.
All right, guys. Hey, it was epic. 100 holes in a single day. These guys showed a lot of endurance. There were times, and you know, I was going to ask Jeff, and we'll follow up another time. You know, during the course of 18 holes, it seems any given round, either your driver's off, maybe your putter's off, or you see to water test your game and see what's working, what's not. 100 holes of golf, you get full exposure there to see really where you might want to put in a little more time or figure out where your strengths are. So, quite a challenge. If you ever get the chance to play 100, I suggest you do it, and do it at one of our courses, Oak Meadows, Maple Meadows, or Green Meadows.
You know, and something else too, Eddie, as a guy that lives down the street from Salt Creek, you know, I've seen that creek overflow, and I've seen the water go down Wooddale Road and go right through people's homes and get destroyed, and, you know, long-term, I mean, what a great idea it is, you know, rather than have all these houses get ruined and, you know, have the insurance claims. You know, this is going to be one big thing that's going to make a difference for a lot of people's lives.
Golf can help the community in a lot of ways, and this is going to benefit the communities in the property and around the property. But, guys, our hour has gone quickly. We want to thank our guest.